Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Hey there, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome into Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland on a Monday to get you started. It was a football weekend. How was it for everybody? If you're a Chiefs fan, it was fine, right? 13-point win on the road. You know, we were all a little concerned in the first half, and then the Chiefs end where they need to. We'll get into that. We'll get into KU's big win to open Big 12 play. We got a lot coming up for you on the show today. Wyatt Thompson will join us here in just a few minutes. We'll get you ready for K-State's Big 12 return and see if anything's changed or if he senses any changes there. With Wildcat football this week in Manhattan. We also, I believe, have Jalen Thompson, depending on his travel schedule, in the next hour. Sort of a, we're not quite done with the Royals season, but we're done with the Royals season. So we'll look back and recap and do all that. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company. Now featuring the Pep Pep Pepperoni Pizza, topped with sliced, cubed, and deli cut pepperoni. Pep Pep Pepperoni, now available in a lunch or full size at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. TJ. Welcome in. How are you?
Good morning. It was a crazy football weekend. I know that you'll appreciate this. I know any TV nuts at home will as well. But last night was the NBC getting off the air at 10:42 window, right in the middle of a Sports Sunday show on KWCH. So lots of chaos last night to end off the night after watching that first half that, you know, made you want to scratch your eyes out a little bit. But awesome day of football. Awesome day of Chiefs football at the end of the night, if you want to call it that. A busy Sunday, I guess.
Yeah, look, I don't think any Chiefs fan are beating their chest about it. But at the end of the day, in the NFL, you don't take 13-point road wins lightly. Go ask the Green Bay Packers yesterday, right? Like, there are weird and crazy things that happen all over the league. Each and every week, the Chiefs needed a win any way they could get it. Yes, we need to see them play better. There's no question about that. But more than anything Sunday, the Chiefs needed to win so that they're not 0-3 and facing a huge deficit in the face to the Chargers, for instance, where you're more like 3.5 games behind them in the AFC West. But they do get the win. I thought there were a lot of things to take away. We'll dig deep into this game as we make our way through the show. But we'll start there, TJ, on the surface, because we'll talk Wildcats in the next segment. Look, I thought one of the most encouraging things was that they were able to run the ball effectively and they stuck with it. That will help them sort of bridge the gap until they can get a little bit healthier. I am zero concerned about Travis Kelce and Andy Reid having, you know, intense moments on the sidelines. I think both of those guys are wired that way, quite frankly. I think they both kind of like it. I think Mahomes looks pretty good, actually. And, you know, as they're piecing it together with the, you know, the pieces that they have, they look good. That was a Giants offense that scored 37 points on the Cowboys last week. Now, that's probably got more to do with the Cowboys than it does the Giants. But the Chiefs defense continues to look good, TJ. And if the Chiefs defense is this good, and it has been more or less for 3 weeks, I do think that's going to raise that floor a little bit for them. They just have to be better on offense. There are times where it looks bad out there offensively.
Yeah, you kind of said it right there, is that the defense is going to help them. I think the defense is going to save them unless the offense figures it out. I mean, they give them that handicap. We've been talking about the Chiefs just are unable to score 30 points. So it's a good thing they have a really good defense, or we wouldn't be talking to them as a dynasty in these past couple of years and you know, wouldn't even be in the conversation. I mean, they'd be a 1-2 team and be written off if their defense wasn't doing what they were doing. So the biggest takeaway you can take from last night, I think, is the first half offensive woes. I think that figuring out eventually may have just been up against the Giants. I'm still not, like you said, not beating your chest about winning by that, taking down the Giants in the second half and looking like the Chiefs should have looked. I think the glaring thing was what was going on in the first half. I mean, like the two backwards passes, Mahomes having to force a fumble, like drops and silly PIs by the Giants bailing them out, and just a weird first half of offense.
It is. And the other thing is too, like, this is not going to be an offensive juggernaut at least until halfway through the season. Then I think it still could be, but not right now. And it's not going to be right now. However, a couple field goals turn into touchdowns. One field goal even in the first half is a touchdown instead. They missed a field goal. So you're looking at a game that could have been 25-9. You're looking at a game that could have been, you know, 30-9. Like the Chiefs dominated the game. But the problem is, and this has been one of the big issues for them, even when they are in control, they're not able to just really rev it up offensively, whatever it is, whether it's the penalties on the offensive line, like all the little things, they just have a lot to sort through, and they have a lot of time to do it, but they don't have a lot of time. You know, the schedule is, I mean, it's impossible not to look at this schedule. Their schedule is brutal. I mean,
there's literally only one way up.
Yeah, I mean, you get Baltimore at Jacksonville and then Detroit. And look, they could win two of those three. We'll see what Detroit looks like on the road tonight. We'll get Monday Night Football. We'll get a little Monday Night Football talk later in the show. But I'm curious to see what Detroit looks like on the road. But those are three games you could lose. Two of them are in prime time, and one's against the Ravens. And then they'll finally start to get a little bit of relief as they get more healthy. Xavier Worthy practiced all week, didn't play. Not sure why that is. That didn't make a lot of sense to me. The only thing I can think of is, honestly, it's because they were playing the Giants and they're like, well, we hopefully won't need him. That was a little strange. That was a little strange. Now, Royals didn't have any targets or anything. Was he a scratch? I was driving back from Texas when an active list came back. Was he active?
Yeah, he wasn't listed on the inactive report, so he suited up, but I agree. I didn't write anything down about Jalen Royals. I never really saw anything from him.
Right.
Did he have a stat?
No, he didn't. He didn't get targeted, and I missed the inactive list because I was driving at that point, but it doesn't matter. He didn't do anything, so I don't expect a ton out of the rookie anyway. Tyquan Thornton looks fine. So I'm not even sure what role or anything Royals would play. They don't have. Was actually, now we can say former host of the show, Tommy Caster, has texted me and he was like, I mean, I don't think the receivers are going to fix this. And I was like, the only thing I can say about Worthy and Rice is they can turn a mountain out of a molehill and do something after the catch. Juju Smith-Schuster's ability right now after the catch is to fall forward. Like that's about how much gas he appears to have left in the tank. Rick says, and he's kind of with you there, TJ, they could have been behind at half if not for that lucky fumble or backwards pass number two. I totally agree. Yeah. I'm not downplaying how bad they look. They look terrible. I'm just trying to understand, like, what are their chances to get going at some point? Well, first you start with at some point this season, and then you go from there. But we'll get more into the Chiefs as we make our way through this Monday edition. Up next, let's talk a little Wildcat football. We got Wyatt Thompson in for his weekly visit. What has he seen? What does he think? We'll get with it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH, and we are glad to be here with you on this Monday. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland, joined by Wyatt Thompson for a weekly visit. Wyatt, Was it a needed bye week? I think we all hoped it was a needed bye week. What's been the vibe there with the time off for the Cats here this week? And good morning. How are you?
That's a good question. Good to be on with you guys again. I think for the most part, everybody's probably going to say it was a good time for, I'll call it a reset, right? You get a little bit of time off, but also work on, you know, a multitude of things that frankly probably need work. I'm very anxious to hear Coach Klieman's press conference today at 12:30, just in terms of how the week went from his perspective, some of the things they worked on. Can we expect any change in personnel in different positions? I don't think there will be, you know, a ton of changes, but there may be a tweak or two. So, the bye week's behind us. Time to get going and get ready for UCF, who off to a 3-0 start. So here we go.
Well, you said it right there. UCF coming in. Scott Frost, obviously, back with the Knights. 3-0 start. They just kind of beat up on Bill Belichick. They were receiving votes in the last AP poll. So a 3-0 squad coming in, take on a 1-3 squad. I know you don't get into this side of it, but K-State is still favored in this game. That just shows the kind of level of respect that people expect K-State to turn this around. What's the vibe inside the program heading into this game?
Well, I do think that this has been a team that has gone through some things, TJ, that, you know, they've been a little bit down and frustrated, disgusted, mad, whatever you want to say. I think all of the above, probably. I don't think anyone would tell you that they've played to their capabilities, and that's quite frustrating. So how do you get there? Well, you just got to be better in so many different areas, and we've talked about them ad nauseum. Everybody knows what they are, right? K-State in the game against Arizona a couple of weeks ago, beaten at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. They haven't been good on third down on either side of the ball. They've had ups and downs with the special teams. You know, that they just need a better push on the offensive line. So there's a ton out there. Why isn't Avery running more? There's a million and a half questions out there. Let's see what they do with a little bit of time off and a little bit of work on them prior to the work on UCF.
Well, you blew over the question there, I think, on a lot of people's mind. What is happening with Avery Johnson? He doesn't look like the same player right now. He has not done some of the things this year that have made him so special through his young career at K-State. It's interesting, too, because I think early on it was a lot of the blame to the coaches. Why aren't they running him more?
Right.
I got to tell you, in that last game, it looked like they were decisions he was making not to take off and run. So what is happening there?
Well, that is one that I get multiple times a day, as you can surmise, I'm sure. I don't know if I have the perfect answer for you here, but in visiting with Avery about it a few times and talking to the coaches have made no secret that they want to protect the kid, keep him upright for 12 games. And so I think that, you know, is the biggest thing. Then you have the angle where, you know, teams are playing K-State differently, actually playing Avery differently than they have in the past. I think we saw that with the Arizona game. I just don't think they were going to let him do a whole heck of a lot. And then the reality of it is, too, is maybe it's been a little bit tougher for Avery without Jerron Bradley. He suffered some drops with some guys. Maybe it is a little bit of confidence. So I think there's a lot on the table. Is Avery making all the decisions as to whether he runs or not? I don't think so. But I do think he has been hesitant without question. I'm sure you guys would certainly concur with that. But I think at some point, you know, we'll see again. I'll go back and say this. I'm anxious to see what coach says today, player reaction after that at 1 o'clock on, you know, what are we doing moving forward? Because as we know, K-State's 1-3. And the reality of it is the games are going to get tougher as we go. If you watch the games this weekend in the league, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in a moment. The league is good, so you better get it strapped on. Let's go.
Yeah, Wyatt, you led right into that one. You know, whenever you go 1-3, whenever you have this kind of start to the season, you know, it turns into the doomsday thinking on social media and everything like that. And, you know, the next five games, you have UCF, Baylor, TCU, KU, and Texas Tech, who all look like the pretty good football teams. You know, like how important is this bye week that they did turn something around so the bad doesn't get worse?
You have to do it. I mean, what's the alternative, right? I think there's a lot of things that I'm sure there were a lot of discussions with the coaches between themselves as a staff. But also, I think it's been pretty apparent, too, that there's been a lot of conversation between what Coach would describe as the captains and or the leadership council, or in this particular case, both, on, okay, for some of those guys that aren't playing to the level that they need to be playing, how do we get them there? And how do we get them there quickly? And then you just kind of work on the other things that need your attention. And by that, I mean playing cleaner football, right? I mean, that would help a lot too. Penalties, mistakes, that kind of stuff needs to be cleaned up some. And I don't know if you guys have paid a lot of attention to UCF. They were 3-0 a year ago and then lost 8 of 9. So who knows what they are for sure. But I do, in studying them, think they are better than they were a year ago for a couple of two or three different reasons. We'll see if it plays out that way. I think they will be a challenge for Kansas State this weekend. So you got to get the ship righted and hopefully pretty quickly, because like you say, next week we go to Waco, and that's no day at the beach either.
Yeah, it really feels to me, Wyatt, and we can talk about the rest of the Big 12 in just a minute, because there are teams in there that look pretty dang good. Is K-State good? Is K-State just not playing good? Like, I hope that we don't even know what K-State is yet, because if we do know what K-State is, it's going to be a really long season.
I think that's perfectly said. If I'm being honest, that's accurate and fair. I don't believe they are exactly the way they have played in a 1-3 start, but yet if we can't seem to get some things turned, then you start to even wonder more, right? I mean, that makes sense to me. And I think through the issues that they've had, mistakes, injuries, all of those things matter. But you know, it starts up front. You win games at the line of scrimmage, and they've got to be better there. I can't stress that enough. I know a lot has been talked about with the offensive line, and they're not this and they're not that. I do think they're capable of playing better than they have, but will they, and can they, and will they, I guess is the questions. And I'm anxious to see what it looks like this week in practice and then on Saturday. But you're right. I mean, we're going to start wondering if you continue to lose games, right? I mean, that's the nature of the beast.
Why, there's something about, you know, putting radio microphones in people's faces that maybe make them a little bit more negative. I've grown to know you as a glass half full kind of guy. So is there a silver lining so far? You know, what can you take away from this that sees the light at the end of the tunnel, that it's not going to, you know, turn into a 1-11 year?
Well, here's what I would say to that, because I think it's a good and fair question. And I am a glass half full guy, as you know. You stated that absolutely correctly. I still go back to the very first game of the year. Iowa State's a good team, and K-State was right there with them in the fourth quarter. They didn't play well against North Dakota, found a way. They did not play well against Army, in particular in the second half. Offensively, they were really, really porous at Arizona. So what are we talking here, right? I mean, you got to be a realist, too, even if you're a glass-half-full guy. And, you know, at some point, I'm hoping to see some leadership step up and from the player side. I think Coach Klieman has been, if you're asking for what I'm looking for, I have a lot of respect for Coach Klieman and how long he has done this, how well he has done this. I think he's probably solved, you know, several problems like this before, and I'm hoping he can do it again. Does that mean, you know, being 1-3, can they win out? Can they win four games? You asked the question, but I don't think any of us really know where we're headed. That's why this is so intriguing.
Wyatt, we look at the Big 12 right now. Five teams got their 1-0 starts. Of course, Iowa State played it against K-State a long time ago, but we saw Tech, Houston, Arizona State, Kansas kind of make the opening salvo. None of the wins more impressive than Texas Tech. I was back home in Texas, and I have, I don't know, like four nieces and nephews right now going to Tech, where we've got some family connection to Barron, the quarterback who got hurt in the game, but they look good. They look good. We know Arizona State is probably going to be good. I know they have a loss. We assume Iowa State's going to be good. I don't think we know a ton about the league just yet, but the teams that we think are going to be good are looking pretty good at this point.
Yeah, that's a good summation, honestly. What I would add to that, though, I said this going into the game in Salt Lake on Saturday. For those of us who aren't sure what Texas Tech is, we know what their capabilities are in terms of they have great skill set, right?
They can play defense now all of a sudden.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. 3.8 yards per play, not per rush, but per play for Utah on Saturday. They just got stymied. Now, Utah's awfully good at the line of scrimmage, too. The difference in this game, from my perspective, was the ability to run and throw and have some balance that Tech had. And it was with their number two quarterback, who looked like a number one. I think that's the scary factor, too. But just from a physicality standpoint, just being honest, guys, if you can go to Salt Lake City and push that guy's team around, you are legitimate from my perspective. So if I were you, I'd look for Tech to continue this trek onward and upward. I think Arizona State won a monster game in Waco. I don't think they're going to get enough run for winning there because it's really hard. And they beat a good team and a good quarterback. They just find a way. Kenny Dillingham's 5-5 in his short career in Big 12 road games, man. They find a way. They run the ball. They throw the ball. They're good. I think you probably start with those two. And then after that, I mean, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but there are several other teams that are right there. Kansas, you named them all, right? We'll see how it plays out.
That's the other part of this, Wyatt, is that you look at what the Big 12 was last year and how deep it was, which, you know, in turn, the winner of the conference might have four losses or something of that nature. You know, it's such a crazy conference. It's kind of looking like it's going to shape up that way. It's not super top heavy. So that's kind of the other silver lining of this is, you know, if you sputter at the start, but, you know, if you find a way to win the right games, you could still be there in Arlington.
Yeah, that's well said, too. And as you said that, you know what popped into my mind? One team we haven't even mentioned that just knocked around a pretty decent SMU team Saturday was TCU. Mm-hmm. Five touchdown passes for Josh Hoover. He's good. They're good. That's the thing. I think unlike last year, if I'm going to be honest here for a moment about the league, I think last year it was really even top to bottom. I do think now we may, I don't know yet, but we may see the very top of the league, maybe a couple of two or three teams. Maybe there'll be a little bit more separation than there was a year ago. Do you guys agree with that? I think it's possible.
Yeah, I it's hard. And then, like, Kansas is there. Kansas looked fantastic. Kansas has looked good. Kansas is probably going to be better than they were predicted. I do think there will be an unpredictability. I think all of it is relevant to this conversation because it all lends to hope, if we're looking for that after the way this season has started for K-State. K-State's played one Big 12 game. All of this being said, and it was a one possession game, they've played one Big 12 game against Arizona State to open the season. And so now that, yeah, they're 0-1, but we don't, is the league, are there going to be juggernauts play their way through? Or does K-State still have a chance in this thing? And I know, like, throw a tomato at me for even suggesting that the way that they played right now. But that's they're favored at home by 5.5 against UCF.
Yeah. I mean,
Vegas doesn't want to give up on them, clearly.
Yeah, and I don't know that anybody wants to give up on them. I think there's some consternation within the fan base, right? I mean, we all understand that. I mean, it's been disappointing. I'll be honest with you. I didn't see 1-3 coming in any way, shape, or form. No way, you know. And then you get even more deflated when you see North Texas beat Army at Army Saturday, right? But that's in the past. You can't change that, you know. I learned a lot of things from Bill Snyder, but one of them was you got to move on and put that stuff behind you and get better, right? And I think that's the thing now. Go do that. And if you do that, you give yourself a chance. The game of football, too, is also one of momentum, right? I'm sitting here, we're talking about this, and one thing that popped into my mind, I was talking about that tough loss for Baylor at home, but go look at their conference schedule. In the back half of their conference schedule, it's a pretty, I won't say it's a cakewalk, but it's not as hard as some, right? It's not like K-State going to Lawrence, going to Waco, going to Salt Lake City. So all of that matters, all of it.
Let me tell you guys, this Big 12 schedule is really messing with my head. I saw K-State's 0-1, and I was like, well, that doesn't make sense. The Arizona game wasn't a conference game. Oh, they played one 5 weeks ago in week zero.
This is
a mess. It's a mess.
Well, fortunately, we're about by that. You know, when Arizona and K-State play from now forward, it actually will be a conference game, barring more movement in the world, which I think there are a lot of people that think that's still possible. And in the near future, whatever that means, is it in the next couple of years, next five, who knows? But if I were you, I would expect some because I think it's going to happen.
It is. Listen, it was a lifetime ago, but they're not. In fact, they're playing worse than they were, I think, against Arizona State. Why? We got a big one this weekend. They're back home. They had the bye week before the home game. It's an 11 a.m. kick. You guys will have all the coverage here on KFH, and we can't wait for it.
We're all anxious, aren't we?
Yeah. I can't wait for it as long as they play well. If they don't play well, I can wait. We don't need that in our lives. We need that stress relief. Boy, I just love to see them beat the brakes off of them. Just to reset everything. Reset. You used that word earlier. It would be perfect. Wyatt, we appreciate it. We'll tune in on the call and we'll be back here one way or the other to talk about it next week. Same time, same place.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks so much.
There goes Wyatt Thompson, home and Wildcat Athletics right here on KFH. Boy, what a weird year, man. What a weird year for K-State so far.
This is the definition, and we've talked about this a lot, is that teams get interesting the better they are and the worse they are. This to me feels like it's must-watch TV to see what do you do?
Yeah, is it there? Right? Is it still there? And it should be. And we didn't even have a chance to talk about Dylan Edwards with the bye week and what the expectation or the rumblings are. We'll learn more about that, of course, today because Chris Klieman will talk today. It's not everything's because Dylan Edwards hasn't been playing. If that is the case, then that's a problem.
And Dylan Edwards is an awesome player if that's the case.
It's a happy Monday to you. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee. If anybody's dragging along like I am today, long weekend. My dad's 80th birthday in Texas. It was quite the bash. Got back in last night just in time to get the Chiefs game on and catch the game. So we're glad to be back here. We're glad to be rocking and rolling. We've got Monday Night Football tonight, by the way, on KFH. You can tune in. 6 o'clock coverage begins. Detroit on the road against the Ravens. Monday Night Football. We'll preview that game in the next hour. Let's talk Chiefs, though, now, TJ, as we get some extended time. KU talk coming. Jalen Thompson should be with us, we think, in the second hour. His travel schedule's been a little bit bouncy the last couple weeks, but we'll play that one by ear, our Royals insider. All right, Chiefs fans. What'd you think here? I can tell you, based on the rhetoric of both my text messages and social media and everything, that it was like full on panic mode here there for the first half. And then you look up, they go out, they have the really nice drive to open the second half. And all of a sudden you look at the end of the game and you're like, oh, well, they won by 13 points. Are we happy with the 13-point road win? I mean, we would be if you knew nothing else, if you knew nothing about the game, if you didn't watch it for a second, if you didn't look at the stat sheet, TJ, and I told you, hey, you know, the 0-2 Chiefs, they got a 13-point win against the Giants. You'd be like, oh, well, dang, that's nice. Good job. Right.
Yeah. I would.
Doesn't quite feel that way, though.
If you don't tell me any of the scores, if it was like a, 33-20 or something, feel a little better, something like that.
I don't know if I would feel better about that. I think let's go on a little adventure here. There's no doubt the offense is struggling. Patrick Mahomes, I think, is playing really well for a variety of reasons. And I think last night we saw them establish and maintain the run game, which is really, really important for them. But the offense is not playing well. But the defense is playing well. And I'll tell you that the offense is not playing at the level I thought they would before the season. Hopefully that's strictly their missing some guys thing. But I'll also tell you the defense is quite a bit better than what I thought they would be thus far. I mean, the Giants had no chance offensively last night. None. Zero. Like, they were toast in that game. They couldn't do anything. And while I want to make fun of the Giants, and Russell Wilson's not that good anymore, they scored 37 points on the Cowboys, which, again, that's probably more of a Cowboys issue, but they're capable and they have some weapons. And the Chiefs did a good job against them. So I don't want to do two things here. I don't want to overreact to them beating the Giants on the road, because that's not that big a deal. I think the Giants might be the worst team in football right now. However, I don't want to underreact to the fact that they won by 13 on the road at a place they've never won, and they got it done in a way that fit the margin just fine.
They did, but I mean, I even go back to like on the surface level, you have your point. 13 points on the road is a big deal, but I think that just watching it, like I don't even know if the Chiefs were happy, like with the way that they, you know, the way it played out, everything like that. Like what we talked about earlier, that Rick chimed in on. I mean, that fumble that Mahomes forced, that was 5 yards away from being a touchdown, and that 13 point win is now a 6 point win. And then you think about everything else that went wrong. Yeah, true. Everything else that kind of went wrong and just kind of fell that way. So like it wasn't comfortable like until the final 5 minutes, maybe like final 10 minutes of game time. And it kind of was just like that. I don't know. It's such a tale of two halves. That second half was just such a different half than the first half. I don't know if that was the Giants getting worse on offense or the Chiefs making adjustments to be better on their offense. And I don't even know what to take away from that game. Like I still don't feel good about it.
I don't feel good about it, but I think that's the point. It didn't feel good, but they won by 13 on the road. And they're not a great team right now. So a not great team. And again, like I'm not trying to make light of the Chiefs start to this season. I'm trying to get a grasp of what I think could happen later in this Chiefs season. They lost to the Chargers by 6. They lost to the Eagles by 3. They very easily could have beaten the Eagles. And then they go win on the road by 13 against the Giants. They're probably not going to beat the Ravens. And then we'll see what happens at Jacksonville and Detroit. But I think I'm just trying to get a gauge of what it will look like when the weather gets cold. Their record won't probably be very good. Like, I don't know that there's a path I can see for them to have a real tidy record going into the month of November. But that doesn't really matter. Like, I don't know about you. Like, I've washed my hands of this idea they could be more than a, you know, 3-7 seed. I don't think they're going to have a better record than Buffalo or Baltimore. I'm not even totally convinced they're going to win the AFC West. So if you consider all those things, what does it really matter? Like, are they going to be a chip in a chair team this year that by the time the playoffs start, they're healthy and nobody wants to play them? Or how much better are they going to get than what they are right now? That I think is the only question that matters for the next 4 weeks. How much better do we think this team's going to be? I still happen to think it'll be quite a bit better. I think those weapons will help them. And again, to my original point, for me, mostly it's because the defense is better than I thought it would be thus far.
Yeah. You know, just thinking about that idea, you know, it's wild to think about the Chiefs, like, in the contention for a 3 seed, in contention to not win the AFC West with the way that the Chargers are starting.
For a 7 seed.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's possible.
Yeah. I don't know a path where they win the AFC West at this point. Like, you think about the Chargers are 3-0 against 3 AFC West teams. So it's just a crazy start to the season that it ended up that way. So yeah, I mean, that I think that's what's driving the most panic. I think that if it was any other franchise that didn't have 9 straight division titles, I think that's the thing that's driving this the most. Like, people obviously want a 1 seed and everything like that, but I think it's the fact of, like, I don't know how we're going to win the AFC West. I don't know how the Kansas City Chiefs are going to make this look better when their guys come back to find a way to claw back in that division. And it's a little bit of that, and it's a little bit of what we talked about with K-State, you know, is the Dylan Edwards thing. It's like, well, I can't imagine this is all Dylan Edwards. I can't imagine this is all Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice. So
it's – I can't either. I just, like, what does it matter, right? Is this a team – because, like, it doesn't matter where they put. They showed us 2 years ago they can go on the road and win. I just don't think it matters too much. You just got to tell me they're going to get there. And by the way, the Chargers are charging and all their players are getting hurt, which is what they do every single year. I don't know how bad Rashawn Slater was hurt, but they're already down linemen. Like, Slater's been out. They're Najee Harris looks like he's going to be out for a while. We saw them lose players last week, significant in Khalil Mack. Like, they're, I think the Chargers are really good too, but, like, what are the chances they're able to hold on? I mean, it's all very close. It was a game-winning field goal yesterday against the Broncos. I don't think the Chargers are going 17-0. But I also think the Chiefs are probably looking at 6, maybe 7 losses, and it does, and I don't care about that really. Like, I don't. Maybe they don't win the AFC West. Okay, they've shown us they can go on the road and win playoff games. They did a couple years ago and won a Super Bowl. Is this team capable of doing that if they can get there? I think that's the only thing that matters. And there are concerns for sure. I get it. Travis Kelce, last night with Andy Reid. Do you care about that at all? I don't. And people are trying to make a big deal of it. But like, to me, that's the way Kelce's always been wired. Like, he's fired up. And Andy Reid is an old football player. Like, he's an old jock, like a shoulder check. Like, and Andy Reid was asked about it in the game on the sideline. He's like, no, man, sometimes we need that juice. Like, let's go. Like, that's a good thing. So I lean to that. Like, I don't think it's a big deal at all.
Yeah. Last night I was making the Sports Sunday show that we do, and I was trying to get all the video and all the talking points and everything. And I put it in the show, and then I like started to go write the script of it. And I was like, it was like at halftime I started doing it. And I was like, I mean, Travis Kelce's got 4 catches for 20 yards at this. Like, he's not playing bad. Like, he's not making
a
drop.
He's not playing all the snaps.
Yeah.
He's not playing all the snaps. He is off the field a lot. And I know they're trying, that's very intentional on their part. And that's probably what's annoying him, but they're doing it because they think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like, there's a lot of criticism of Travis Kelce online and everything like that. Obviously, he had the drop in the end zone last week, which ended up turning into an interception that, you know, could have been a game and everything like that. But outside of that, like, he's not playing at the all pro level that Travis Kelce is. But I mean, he's a, like, in terms of fantasy football, because that's the way my brain thinks. Like, I mean, he's still the top half tight end in the league, probably. Like, he's serviceable. The problem is that he's just been the number one for this Chiefs offense for so long, and now there really isn't a number one on the field. Evidently, it's Tyquan Thornton.
But Tyquan Thornton looks pretty good. I'll be honest. He was that non-touchdown catch
was a
really tough break. Yeah. I mean, he had made a great play, and then an even better play on it. Tyquan Thornton fits even when they're healthy. I don't know how he and Hollywood and Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy all fit together, but Tyquan Thornton's got a long-term role on this team. I don't think there'll be anybody better at any point this year on the deep ball than Thornton is right now. Like, that's a thing for them. Like, that's a big thing for them. I'm glad they have him. I'm glad they have him, because that part of their game right now feels so critical when everything else is slogging along. But the run game did not. What did you think of the run game last night? The run game was good. Pacheco and Hunt both, especially Pacheco, ran the ball pretty well. They were working in Breshard Smith for the first time. They didn't even have. I know Patrick Mahomes had one big long one called back. But if you can give me 22 carries from the running backs like that and you know, get the kind of yardage they did, I'm in for that. I think that's going to help them get through this tough stretch for sure.
Yeah, I think that the thing is, the biggest part of it, because you know, you watch that game and the running back room isn't, and you don't take anything away from, especially I think it's because Cam Scadda, who was on the other side, who played out of his mind last night. He's so good. But watching that Chiefs running back room, I mean, like, you see it, right? Like, Pacheco averaged 4.5. Kareem Hunt averaged 3.4. Breshard Smith had 2 carries for 13 yards. So it's nothing crazy, but I think it's more so the fact that the Chiefs didn't give up on it, as you brought up earlier in the show, which they've done. I mean, we've seen games where they've ran the ball single-digit times. Like, running the ball 22 times whenever you don't have your wide receivers is what you're supposed to do. And Isaiah Pacheco in the first half did not look good. Like, he frankly looked like he kind of sucked in the backfield a little bit. So not giving up on that. I think Kareem Hunt needs to play in a role similar to what he had last night. It's not going to be a Isaiah Pacheco bell cow type of offense that some people thought it was going to be when he came back. He's not the same Isaiah Pacheco that he was before he broke his leg. So you have to find the mix that works. Obviously, Kareem Hunt, what he did last year is probably not going to be repeated as he gets a year older as well. So, but that's the biggest thing. As you said, just don't give up on the run. You know, I'd be enamored if they'd go get another running back somehow, but I don't think it's going to happen midseason. But if you could give me 20 carries per game from running back room and Andy Reid offense, I'd take it.
They don't need a running back if that's going to be their run game last night. They don't need one. I mean, they don't need anything to add to that. That was fine. I mean, it was fine. You're not going to ask for more than that. Now, are they explosive enough? I suppose not. What do people think they're going to go do? Get Kamara and give it to him 25 times a game? They're not going to change their offense. So I was very encouraged by the run game. I'm not overly encouraged by the way the Chiefs played last night, but they won by 13 points on the road. So I don't want to just gloss over that aspect of the game either. More in the second hour. KU talk, maybe a little Royals talk. It's all coming for you. It's all Mark and Cleveland. Stick around.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.